Great to be here. I want to read for you Mark chapter 5 and verses 22 to 43. Mark chapter 5, verses 22 to 43, and I'm going to read from the New International Version. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Some version says, "Who touched me?" You see, the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion. I like that. He saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. I even like this more. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kum." That's Greek, which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Or some version translated, "Damsel, arise." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. That's God's word. Amen. And we give him thanks for it, right? Yes, and I mean, there is a sense in which you've got like two stories, they rolled into one. And at the very least, it's two sermons. I'm not preaching two sermons, though. You'll be pleased to know. I'm only preaching one, or probably just attempt to preach one. So what am I calling this message? The topic I'm giving to it is touching Jesus and being touched by Jesus. That's the topic. Touching Jesus and being touched by Jesus. You probably hear whispering in the back, that's Marina translating. Marina has already translated my sermon at home, so her parents know what I'm going to preach, but I always add things to it, right? On the way, etc. So just do your thing, Marina. All right? Touching Jesus and being touched by Jesus. So those of us who have children, And I'm aware that today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all those to whom it applies. So those of us who have children know that one of the things that can make you feel weak and vulnerable is when your children are sick. Yeah? It's every parent's kryptonite. So Jairus was a religious leader. This guy has got money, and he's got status, and he's got influence. But all of that became useless. And in a desperate move, he goes to Jesus. Why? His daughter, 12 years of age, is dying. And he pleads with Jesus to go to his house and lay hands on her. That's his plea. He's very specific. I'd like you to come to my house and put your hands on her and heal her. So what does Jesus do? Jesus drops everything and is going to Jairus' house. However, there were crowds of people following him. Luke chapter 8, verse 42, and you would know that this story is not just in Mark, but everywhere else. There were crowds of people following him, and Luke 8:42 says, the crowds, that's plural, crowds, lots of people, almost crushed him. That's the word Luke used, crushed him. Now, this is a problem for Jairus, wouldn't you think? Yeah, because Jairus wants Jesus to get to his house quickly, but Jesus is being held back by the crowds. And it is set to get worse. In the crowd, you see, there is a woman with a bleeding disease. And here is the thing. This bleeding disease started 12, 12, 5, 10, 12 years ago. Think. The Bible says she spent all she had. Commentators believe this was a wealthy woman also, well-to-do, because she went from one doctor to the next. But her condition kept getting worse. And Jesus is passing her way. And this is like an opportunity of a lifetime. He is probably not passing this way again. And come hell or high water, I am going to get to Jesus. Whatever it takes. Even if I have to crawl through the crowd. If I have to walk behind him, I don't need to shake his hand. I don't need his autograph or a selfie. Right? If I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. That's what she said. And she's going for it. So, she touched his robe. Jesus had a robe on. And she touched his robe. And what happened? Instantly healed by the power of God. So this woman came from behind. Touch his robe and instantly healed. Right. And Jesus asked this amazing question. Right. Who touched me? Look, there are crowds of people pushing and crushing in on him. And he asked, who touched me? Tony, John, John. We all come to church and we all hope to be touched by God, right? Right. But Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" I, Jesus, am used to touching people. But today, this day, somebody touched me. I am accustomed to touching people. But today, somebody touched me. So here is the thing. You can stay right where you are, or you can get radical enough to say, whatever it takes to get out of this, whatever it takes for my life to get better, whatever it takes for me to be made whole, even if I have to crawl through the crowd, whatever it takes, I want to touch Jesus. Who touched me? How did he know? How did he know? Who touched me?
Power went from him. He knew power had gone.
Power had gone out. Some versions say virtues went out of him. You all agree with that? Good. You know, think of it. Power has gone out of me because somebody touched me. Think of it. Virtues have gone out of me because somebody touched me. Something has gone out of me. You know, this reminds me of what it cost for each one of us here to be touchable. You know, whenever somebody touches you, it costs you. When you give yourself to people, whenever you make yourself available to people, in other words, when you serve, when you care for people, whenever you give, you will know that it cost you. It cost me to be your friend. It cost me to stand by you. It cost me to be there for you. And the reason some people will not pay the cost is because they are too selfish to give up the virtue. Who touched me? I know because it cost me. I felt the power and I had to give up virtue when you touched me. Jesus said, I know somebody touched me because virtues went out of me. Who touched me? Do you think you are going to get healed privately and walk away? Jesus called her out of the shadows. If you are going to get this healing, woman, you have to come out and be singled out from the crowd. And I am amazed of how things progressed here. She was first a certain woman. That's what the Bible says, a certain woman. Then Jesus said, somebody. So she's progressed. A certain woman. Now she is somebody. And then Jesus said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. It was not what I did that made you whole. It was what you did. And what I want to say to you, look at how she's progressed. A certain woman, somebody, daughter. You know, salvation don't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. In an instant, you can go from a sinner to being a saint. You can go from being condemned to being redeemed in the flash of a moment. certain person, somebody, my son, my daughter. Are you or have you been waiting for God to do something? Have you ever thought that maybe God is waiting on you to move before he moves? You are waiting on Jesus to touch you. Have you ever thought that maybe Jesus is waiting on you to touch him? Amen. How many of us touch Jesus? We all want a touch. We come to church for a touch. Have you ever thought, what am I doing to touch him? Because of her sickness, this woman was separated from society. And you know, even to this day, sickness can disconnect and separate us from society. I look after services in several hospitals, Berwick Infirmary, Alnwick Infirmary, Cramlington Hospital. I used to look after service in Wansbeck General, gave that up because of a new job they recently gave me. I look after service in North Tyneside Hospital. But you don't have to be in charge or work in a hospital to know what happens there and how life in there is separated from society. But I would like to challenge you, next time you visit an inpatient ward in any hospital, think of what I am saying and you will know what I mean. Because hospitals can represent a world that separates us from normalcy. For this woman, even in her own home, she became an untouchable. According to Old Testament laws, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 15, verses 19 to 33, this is the law, the Mosaic law. Her husband and her children cannot eat food she has cooked. They cannot sit on chairs on which she sat. They cannot touch her without becoming unclean themselves. That's how she's living her life. That's the law. According to the law also, Jesus couldn't touch her and she couldn't touch Jesus. That's the law. So, brothers and sisters, I want you to note this. She couldn't touch Jesus and Jesus couldn't touch her. But she's got a need. And Jesus isn't coming my way, probably ever again. So look at what this woman did. She broke a law and she broke a system that locked out certain people. She crawled through a crowd and broke a law to get to Jesus to touch him for her healing. I wonder if you know of any church rules that prevent people from getting to Jesus. I can tell you I know a good few. And I also have read about some that not only prevent people from getting to Jesus, but they prevent Jesus from getting into the church. This woman broke a law to get to Jesus. You know, in the year 320 AD, the bishop of Caesarea, a man called Eusebius, he recorded that when he visited Caesarea Philippi, which is near the Golan Heights today, people were talking of this woman. And they showed him the house where she lived. And out of gratitude for being healed, she had erected 2 bronze figures at the gate of her house. I told you she was rich. One figure represented a woman bending on her knee and pleading for help. The other, fashioned in the likeness of Jesus, holding out his hand to help her. Eusebius wrote, that is the bishop of Caesarea, and I quote, "We saw these with our own eyes when we stayed in the city." That's what he wrote. So by the time Jesus was through ministering to her, Jairus got news that his daughter had died. Have you ever thought of things getting from bad to worse? Well, this is it. Talk of things getting from bad to worse. She's now dead. Well, Jesus still went to her, to his house, to her house. When Jesus reached Jairus' house, what did he do? He put everybody out. Why? Why did he put everybody out?
Because of unbelief.
Unbelief. Anything else?
The negativity.
The negativity. I like that word, Tony, negativity. I like unbelief also, George. All right. So both are correct, all right? But one of the reasons is because of their negativity. Bible says there was a commotion. You know, being negative and hanging around with negative people can be destructive. Oh, yes. Being negative and hanging around with negative people can be really destructive. And let me tell you this, and listen carefully to this. Sometimes when there seems to be a clear out of some people from your lives, a clear out from some of the people in your circles of friends and acquaintances, etc. You know, sometimes people move on and you wonder, why are they gone? Oh, I just wish they didn't go. Do you ever thought that maybe it's because God is getting ready to bless you like you have never known? And before he does that, he has to do a bit of clearing out the negativity. I can testify to that. Jesus chucked all the people who were causing, as the Bible says, a commotion. Right, so Jesus has gone to Jairus' house. Let me ask you this. Did he have to go?
No.
No. Jesus didn't have to go to his house and lay hands on her, because Jesus had already shown that he could speak and healing would take place. He didn't even touch Lazarus. All he said, "Lazarus, come forth." However, going to her house to lay hands on her represented a personal touch. This is like a home visit. Nothing like a home visit, right?
Yep.
Jesus is coming to your house. That's a home, personal visit, a personal touch from Jesus. So let me say this. I believe that some things do not happen unless we are together as a church, a body of believers like we are here this evening. In fact, the Bible instructs us, and I told them this at Hedden this morning, was a different sermon, and
got five witnesses
I've got, right? It's a different sermon. The Bible instructs us to meet together. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I can testify, and I'm sure you can also testify of the many good things that happen when we are together. Right? Good. So we've settled that bit. However, if the only experience we have with God is when we come to church, then we probably need to ask what kind of personal relationship I have with Jesus. You know, it's so easy with the crowd rhythm. Everybody in the crowd's waving their hand, we wave hands. Everybody's singing, we sing. Everybody's clapping, we clap. I even dance sometimes. But what do I do when I'm alone with Jesus when he comes for a house call?
Talk to him.
Talk to him, the man says. What is my relationship with Jesus when I am alone with him and nobody else? So Jesus comes to her house, and watch what happens now. She cannot touch him. Why? She's dead. Right? And you know, sometimes we can come to a place in life where things have been so bad and are so bad that we stop reaching out to God. Some people can be right in the presence of God, in the presence of divine healing, in the presence of divine deliverance, and they still cannot or would not reach out to God. Here's good news. The little girl cannot reach Jesus, but Jesus can reach her. That's the good news. But there is also bad news. The bad news is this. According to Old Testament laws, so you see, we're back to them laws, right? Leviticus laws, this time Leviticus 21, verses 1 to 3. As a priest and a rabbi, which Jesus was, Jesus cannot touch the dead. That's the law. So Jesus now has a decision. Do I keep the law and lose the child, or do I keep the child and break the law? The law says, don't touch her. Look, let me tell you this. I'm giving you fair warning, right? There is a hallelujah moment coming up. All right? Just in case you miss it. The Bible says, Jesus took her by the hand, verse 21. He touched her. He held her hand. He broke the law. She could not get to him, so he broke a law to get to her. That's the hallelujah moment. If Jesus followed the law, where would we be?
Dead.
Where would we be? Unredeemed sinners. That's what we would be. You know how many laws Jesus broke to save us? When we couldn't reach him, he reached out to us. When we couldn't touch him, he touched us. Thank God that he broke the law for me. Thank God for grace. Now watch this. The woman's been bleeding for 12 years. And Jesus is going to a house where there is a dead girl, 12 years of age. For as long as this little girl had been alive, that woman had been hemorrhaging from a disease. Their troubles started together, one at birth and one later on, both 12 years ago. The woman and the girl are both terminally ill. There is no cure for either of them. Both of them are locked away from normalcy. Both of them were untouchables. Jesus could say, "The sick woman broke the law by touching me, but I can't be held responsible for that because I didn't see her coming. She crept from behind and touched me." But he couldn't make any such excuse for the little girl because he broke the law to get to her when she couldn't get to him. That little girl, though dead, represent potential, possibilities, the future. She has not yet accomplished her dreams, but she can't get up. She was sick, and then she died. Everyone thought her future is over, but the Bible says Jesus took her. That is the dead girl he was not supposed to touch. By the hand, he broke the law to get to her and said, "Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, get up. Damsel, arise." The Bible says immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. How about that for breaking the law? How about that result for breaking the law? You know, sometimes you might have to crawl through the crowd to reach and touch Jesus. But if your situation is so bad that you cannot touch him, be assured, brothers and sisters, that he can touch you, even if he has to break the law and the protocol. And so I exhort every person here, speak to every dead thing. Speak to every dead situation. Speak to every vision unfulfilled. Speak to every promise that has never gotten up. Speak to everything that died before its time. Command it in the name of Jesus. Every dead thing, arise. Touching Jesus and being touched by Jesus. Can I ask you just where you are? Let us give ourselves a bit of space. And I'm just going to pray a short prayer. Then I'll hand back to Tony, probably to continue or to end his service however he wants. Let's be still for a moment. Gracious God, I present to you every one of your people here and their families. And I pray supernatural blessings on them. Release a blessing on each one. And I pray that those wrestling with conditions in their bodies and souls, that they would have a better, healthier, stronger, prosperous future and truly experience and know what it means to touch you or to be touched by you. And I thank you on their behalf. In Christ's holy name. Amen.